In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Your family, as I was reading even that first reading today, another thing just stuck out at me. For God did not give us a spirit of cowardice, but rather of power and love and self-control. That line alone is what we've been sadly missing for the last over a week, for the last really couple months, 3 months, since everybody's become so afraid of getting sick, dying, since all this crazy chaos has broken out all around our nation and all around the world, we've certainly seen a complete and total lack of love and self-control. Well, dear family, as you all know well, hundreds of cities across the country have descended into absolute chaos, such that at last count, governors in 24 states and Washington, D.C. have had to call in the National Guard to protect lives and property of law-abiding citizens. Over 17,000 troops have been activated. And as of 10:16 p.m. last night, 11 deaths have been confirmed during the George Floyd demonstrations. Nothing says justice for George more than another 11 dead and 17,000 National Guard troops called up to defend innocent citizens from the mayhem of criminal anarchists. Now watch and get this clear. Through the mayhem of criminal anarchists enabled by all those people who claim to be innocent protesters. The next time I see some of them on the front line doing one of these, what a joke. As bricks are flying over their heads. They're not innocent. Dear family, now is not the time to beat around the bush. Now is the time to speak as clearly as possible. It is just too bad that we're not hearing that voice of the shepherds in the hierarchy. Let us be clear. By applying sacred scripture and the Ten Commandments to every single one of those protesters, because the very thing they are doing has alienated the law-abiding majority. Your family, let me go on the record and state it clearly. Our right to protest ends when it enables criminal anarchists to pose a risk to the health and well-being of others. When it enables pillaging, plundering, looting, and burning, not just of private property, but the businesses upon which all our lives depend. By the way, to every fascist governor and health department tyrant, you kept your voters on lockdown and threatened churches, like the New Jersey governor whose tyrant order led to the arrest of 14 people. Ooh, big number there, 14 people attending a funeral. He had them arrested. But you don't see them sending law enforcement to arrest the groups, the massive quantities of people who took to the streets of Trenton in Atlantic City, failing to observe social distancing as they smashed windows and looted stores and set vehicles on fire. Oh, no. No, but let's go arrest the 14 people attending a funeral. Dear family, now there will not be justice for George because they, every anarchist, and every protester who enabled them ruined it. With every broken window, with every criminal theft, and with every police car they burned. They have lost the support of true Americans, and they've lost the support of truly faithful Christians and Catholics. Now they get no sympathy whatsoever. But in a way, we can be thankful for their sordid, ignorant violence, because they, especially those that tried to loot gun stores, just demonstrated exactly why we have the Second Amendment and why we will never give up our defensive equipment. Sure, I'll turn in my guns, said no criminal ever. So thank you to every looter and burner and to every person who enabled them. Thank you. Again, the simple and clear Catholic truth based on sacred scripture and Ten Commandments is this: our right to protest ends when we engage in anarchy and create chaos, and when our allegedly peaceful protest enables others who engage in chaos. That is the truth. And anything contrary to the truth is false. And anyone who says anything different from that truth is a liar. Let's apply sacred scripture and the teaching of Jesus to all this, starting with our gospel acclamation. Again, I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. Whoever believes in me will never die. So what does it mean to genuinely believe in Jesus? It means you genuinely love him. And if you genuinely love him, you will keep his commandments. That's just not my opinion, dear family. Jesus said it. John 14:15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I command you. So that bit about command, recall for today the life lesson of the PNC. If something is true, anything contrary to it is false. And also recall the life lesson of rat poison, where about 99% of what's in the box tastes really good to the rat, but the 1% that's poison kills him dead. Just like what happens if you mix in a little rat poison with the truth of our faith, and it kills our faith dead. So now with those two, let's learn a new life lesson today. The life lesson that there are no footnotes on the Ten Commandments. There are no footnotes. Here's an easy example to understand it. Moses walked down the mountain 3,400 years ago, give or take, carrying the stone tablets of the Ten Commandments. They're the same ten that we have today. They haven't changed. And our eternal salvation depends upon keeping them. If we love Jesus, we will keep his commandments. He said it. Which then is why, by the way, I'm so shocked when so many cannot seem to recite those Ten Commandments in order, or even out of order for that matter. There are only ten. They haven't changed in 3,400 years. And the life lesson today is there are no footnotes. So for example, commandment number 3, thou shalt keep holy the Lord's day. How many hours in a day? 24. How many do we have to keep holy? It is after all a commandment. 24. I actually have had people say to me, one? I don't even know what to say to that. There are no footnotes on commandment number 3, like, thou shalt keep holy the Lord's day. And then at the end of the sentence, you know, there's a numbered footnote. You go down to the bottom and see, unless you're on vacation. No, it doesn't say that. There are no footnotes on those Ten Commandments. There's not a footnote on thou shalt keep holy the Lord's day that says, you know, down at the bottom, unless you're in college and then you get a 4-year free pass. There are no footnotes on the commandments. There are no footnotes on commandment number 6, like thou shalt not commit adultery, unless you know, again, you happen to be in college and then you get that same 4-year free pass. There are no footnotes to thou shalt not commit adultery, but cohabitation, no problemos. By the way, truth hurts. Did you ever stop to think that we could put an end to AIDS immediately? If people treated their bodies like the temple of the Holy Spirit and remained virgins until sacred matrimony, one man, one woman. Guess what? No more STDs. No more AIDS. Do we understand that STDs and AIDS are a direct result of wanton and illicit violations of commandment number 6? Well, that's ridiculous, Father. You set the bar too high. Your expectations are just plain unreasonable. Your family, if someone says something that stupid to you, here's what you can say. Firstly, well, actually, I wasn't the one who set the bar at all. God did. He's the one that gave us a commandment. There are no footnotes. And secondly, he did not seem to think it was an unreasonable expectation. Boom. End of debate. any modernist, any left-wing lib who says anything different from that is a godless imposter of a Christian. Your family, understand this. It's one thing to fall from grace, to fall into sin. We're all sinners, myself included. But it is a definitely worse thing to mix in rat poison and change God's law to suit our fancy. It's why the Pope said the greatest sin of the last century is the denial of sin. So let us now apply the life lessons of the PNC and rat poison and the new one for today, no footnotes, to commandment number 7, thou shalt not steal. This is pretty clear. No confusion there. It's black and white, thou shalt not steal. Like, thou shalt not steal unless you know you're participating in a riot, at which time it's okay to break in and pillage and plunder and loot all the stuff on the other side of that window, and then maybe just burn the place down just for fun. There's no footnote to commandment number 7, like, thou shalt not steal, unless you know someone is killed in Minneapolis. So all bets are off in New York City, Philadelphia, Detroit, Chicago, LA, St. Louis, or, you know, pretty much any such city or state. Let's boil it all down to Jesus' 2 commandments. The first and greatest commandment is love God above all things, which necessarily encompasses then, doesn't it, Jesus' teaching that we talked about earlier, that if you love me, the Son of God, you will keep my commandments, all 10 of them, without adding your own footnotes. And the second of the 2 great commandments is love your neighbor as yourself, which pretty much excludes all the plundering and looting and burning. Because after all, that new pair of Nikes in the window, all the jewelry or the booze, actually belongs to someone else, your neighbor. Oh, Father, the left wing will say, but there was a wrong committed against George Floyd, and we got to do something about it. Well, let us ponder one more little overarching rule that we learned as kids. 2 wrongs do not make a right. So you see, dear family, we have always known that just because some bad actor in a uniform in Minneapolis uses unnecessary excessive force and the person dies, that is no excuse whatsoever under the sun. And no excuse under the Son of God to plunder, pillage, loot, and steal and burn what is not yours. Your family, our lives are short, but eternity is a very long time indeed. And where we spend it depends entirely upon whether we keep those 10 commandments by loving and the 2 great commandments by loving God above all things and loving our neighbor as ourselves. Which now brings me to the final point. And I think I have my finger on the pulse. I think I try as hard as I can to listen to the voice of the church spoken by the shepherds. But where has the hierarchy been amidst all this? For the most part, all we've heard are crickets, except for one particular case where one particular shepherd would have been better off not saying anything at all. And I speak, of course, about Wilton Gregory. Yesterday, we have Wilton Gregory very publicly make a statement that a true Catholic cannot not respond because of the rat poison it adds to the life of the faithful. Shepherds have a duty. I have a duty to respond for you, dear family, to this very public statement of his. Because after all, if an archbishop of the Catholic Church can make such a statement, you, my family, might erroneously come to think that he might be right. To enable us to discern his culpable error, we need only look to our 3 life lessons for today, the PNC, rat poison, and no footnotes on the commandments. Let's start with Wilton Gregory's very public statement, quote, I find it baffling and reprehensible that any Catholic facility would allow itself to be so egregiously misused and manipulated in a fashion that violates our religious principles. And then he had the temerity to invoke Pope St. John Paul II, that glorious saintly pope. He said he would not condone the use of tear gas and other deterrents to silence, scatter, or intimidate the protesters. Well, that's interesting, Wilton Gregory, that you find it baffling and reprehensible that any Catholic facility would allow itself to be so egregiously misused and manipulated. Because I didn't see him make any particular complaint about another president violating our religious principles when Barack Hussein Obama went to Georgetown and had the symbol of Jesus covered up. Because the excuse was, well, he didn't want any background distracting from his message. Listen, his message better be consistent with that background, the IHS of Jesus Christ, our Lord, our Savior, our Redeemer. And if he thinks that's a distraction, right away there's a problem. But he went to Georgetown and had it covered up. Didn't want to distract any background distracting from his message, but he had absolutely no problem speaking with a background plastered with Planned Parenthood signage. Didn't hear Wilton Gregory make any particular complaint when Barack Hussein Obama said, "God bless Planned Parenthood." Don't even try to tell me, Archbishop Gregory, that Barack Hussein Obama worships the same God that I do. Jesus the Lord never would bless an organization that kills 1 million babies a year in the U.S. alone. Well, again, and as to our Catholic religious principles, we all know as Catholics that eulogies are not permitted, period, in the midst of a holy mass of Christian burial. We're there to pray for the decedent, not to eulogize him. And we certainly do not let non-Catholics stand in the ambo of a Catholic church and pontificate, such as we saw Obama do at Ted Kennedy's funeral in a Catholic church. The Ted Kennedy, continuously reelected by left-wing Massachusetts, despite such peccadilloes as that little incident at Chappaquiddick. I don't even know how to pronounce that word. The Ted Kennedy, who spent almost 47 years in the United States Senate supporting women's right to choose abortion. I didn't hear Wilton Gregory make a very public and very political statement about religious principles when a Catholic church was used to make a very anti-Catholic public statement by a person who complained about us clinging to our Bibles. But I'll make an immediate correction. If ever Archbishop Gregory did make such public statements immediately, concurrent with Obama's covering up Jesus at Georgetown, concurrent with Obama's God bless Planned Parenthood blasphemy, and concurrent with Obama's eulogy at a Catholic mass of Christian burial, I immediately will issue a correction. Show me, dear family. I can't do all the research myself. Show me. Because the last thing I want to do is mislead you, dear family, on matters of actual Catholic truth. I would not knowingly put rat poison into your faith. Nor would I add any footnotes to the Ten Commandments, like number 5, which is thou shalt not kill, which also means thou shalt not beat on a police officer or run him over with a car. A commandment which also includes, as a subset, thou shalt not put everybody else at risk by creating social chaos, endangering us and the president. As Obama himself said, elections have consequences. Deal with it. He is the president. So how about, Wilton Gregory, if you make a very public statement telling everyone, all those peaceful protesters, to go home, knock it off. Is that too much to ask of a hierarchy? To really make a very public and forceful statement that two wrongs do not make a right, and we do not have the right to enable looting and burning. I think it was on CNN. Somebody said that looting and burning, those are viable or acceptable means of protest. What's this country coming to? Your family, what is crystal clear from the videos is that there was plenty of all that rioting, looting, burning, going on by out of control mobs. So to be equally crystal clear, and any allegedly peaceful protester who enabled the non-peaceful agent provocateurs to run rampant is complicit in the countless crimes that were committed. Their right to peaceful protest ends when by their actions, they enable crimes against humanity and against property. Dear family, I cannot let you ever be confused by the rat poison put into the public domain by anybody. And I'll serve you by guiding you to the truth, and will guard you from any rat poison from any source, even it be in the hierarchy, who openly has criticized the one and only president who personally has appeared at the March for Life and who just signed this week an executive order to guarantee our religious freedom. In the end, dear family, there is one and only one solution to all the madness and all the chaos. And that is for everyone to follow the Ten Commandments, which Jesus boiled down to two commandments without adding any footnotes. And if someone or some small percentage of law enforcement acts badly, let us first each look in the mirror and say, exactly when have we been so perfect? And recognize that that truth hurts. But also recognize that law enforcement never would have been there in the first place if George Floyd had obeyed the Ten Commandments, if he had not committed a crime. And while we all agree excess force was used, the video is more, there are no words about how appalling it was. Nevertheless, that is for the jury trial to decide, not us, at which time proper punishment will be given according to the law. And no one has a constitutional right to create absolute chaos in hundreds of cities across the country, such that governors in 24 states and Washington, D.C. have had to call up 17,000 plus National Guard troops to protect us all. No one has that right. And nothing belies the absurd proposition, justice for George, more than another 11 dead and 17,000 National Guard troops being called up to defend innocent citizens from mayhem. So let us pray harder, dear family. Pray harder and consider fasting, because with a dearth of grace caused by so many who locked the churches and denied the sacraments, with the dearth of grace caused by those who did such appalling things during the fascist civil government's 11 to 12 week lockdown in virtually every state in the Union, we are now sitting on a powder keg that already has begun to blow up. And the one person who is trying hard to restore law and order for all of us just got ripped on by an archbishop of the Catholic Church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.